I think we must have the most beautiful kids in the world in our church. Would you agree? They're beautiful. I was just telling Kaylin's mom outside Desi, I said, Desi, look at her. And she was watching her by video. And I says, isn't it neat how God takes our mistakes and makes miracles out of mistakes? Yeah. Tremendous. Well, glad for a God of grace. Let's take out our notes as we talk about small beginnings of big changes. Happy anniversary. How many of you believe that our greatest years lie ahead of us? Yep, they do. Because all that God has given to us and we've accumulated and we've made mistakes and stumbled and fumbled, and now we can take all that God has given to us and now begin to apply it. I was thinking about the amount of stuff that God has given to us. Just the information and teaching and seminars and Bible studies and everything. I was looking at since 1995 to now, I added it up, and I gave 3,900 sermons. Do you know why we're so messed up? Now you know. And then I was thinking, man, not only that, our technology, the Thursday night video and the Friday night video, we had that streamed live over the internet while we were doing the concerts. Concerts, we were streaming them over the video over internet. And then this service right now is being streamed over the internet live. So we've got all, then I was thinking, all the other stuff God's given to us is just amazing. The amount of teaching, the amount of seminars, everything. And then we live in an age of technology that floods us with even more information and resources to be good parents, to be good people, to be good Christians. Just tons and tons of stuff. By the way, how many of you, with a raise of hand, own a cell phone or a computer? Raise your hand. Yeah, look around. It's like 99 to 100% of the people here. Now, if you have a cell phone or a computer, did you know that all of the knowledge that the world has amassed and has recorded is accessible to you somehow? And on your telephone, did you know that right now, today, in America, text messaging, there will be 6 billion messages sent today. 6 billion. Today, you can get from the New York Times one email that opens up to an HTML page from the New York Times, and they have HTML links, or rather hyperlinks all over. That one email, in one email, you, today's American, will be able to access more information than a 17th century person in England would be able to access in their whole lifetime. You can do it in one email today. That much information. You'd be surprised. Our world will make available more information in the next decade than has been discovered in all of human history before. That's how fast information is flying at us. One day in America, 1,000 books will be published. And a total of all printed knowledge will double in the next 5 years. In fact, they say if you read 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, if you read constantly without stopping, you would never be able to catch up with everything that is being written. Today, we have 260,000 billboards in America. We have 11,500 newspapers, 11,600 magazines, and check this out. And you will have 60 billion pieces of junk mail in your post box this year. That's how much is coming at us. But here's the problem. Because information is good. But here's the downside. Mankind is not able to keep up with the processing of that information as it flies at us. We are so far behind in applying it. So you know what happens? The information doesn't slow down. It even lessens the processing. It bogs it down with more information and more information. It actually slows it down. So now people are busy gathering information and there's less action and there's more information. For example, there's people graduating from colleges that have a certificate or a diploma or a degree in a certain major, and they do nothing with it. They go do something else. We just have so much information that we don't have time to process it or put it into action. So after a while, we just say having information is good enough. For example, some time ago, we needed some volunteers for something here in New Hope. So I said to one of the staff, we got to somehow recruit some volunteers. Can you help me with that? Sure. So he had a volunteer class on how to do whatever it was. And so it was a six-week class, I think, or eight-week class. And about 80-some people signed up. And when it was all done, they had a little graduation. They all got diplomas and certificates, and they put it on their wall. And so I said to this person, well, do we have staff people? I mean, volunteers yet? He said, oh, you know, we graduated 86, so do we have any? I said, no, but we have really good certificates that we gave them. I said, no, do we have any of them doing anything? No, I said, well, let's go for it. He said, okay. So I said, what are you going to do? He said, we're going to have this volunteer class, like advanced volunteer too. I said, what? He said, yeah. So he went through another 5 weeks of that, and they got nicer diplomas and nicer certificates that they put next to the other one that they got. And I said, okay, do we have more volunteers? He said, no, but they got really nice certificates this time. I said, stop the classes. No more classes. No more information. We got to get people involved and active again. Because I thought, you know, isn't it amazing? We are in an information age where we're substituting certificates and diplomas and finishing classes for actually being able to do it. I have some friends, they have huge amounts of degrees, but they can't do a thing. But they've got the degrees on the wall. And I thought, I wonder how many of us Christians have that. We've got so much stuff. So I said, God, how do we start to take all of this and begin to cause action to take place? Because if we were to admit it, many people who are outside of the church know Christians by the stuff that we have, like that's in the media, the Left Behind series, or Purpose-Driven Life, or Passion of Christ, or Television Evangelists. It's what we do in the media, not really what we produce in action in our communities. And I thought, God, we have to take something of that, but more so, put it into action so that there's lives that are being changed and transformed, because that's what it's all about. I thought, how are we going to do this? So I was reading through thinking, man, we got to do something big. I mean, we just got to nail this. And so I was reading, and I came to Mark chapter 4 in the Bible, and it just changed my whole way of thinking. Jesus is describing the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God for you is what God plans for your life, and you walk into it. You don't reject it. You don't run away from it. You don't ignore it. You walk into it by obeying, by following, by applying God's ways. And you can be involved in the kingdom of God for you, the kingdom of God for Hawaii. What God wants to do, His plans, His purposes, that's the kingdom. He's saying, enter the kingdom. Enter into that. It's right among you. Just enter into it. So I said, God, how are we going to do this? Well, here's what He described. He said this, Mark 4, the kingdom of God is defined by a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds, but when this teeny, teeny little seed is planted, it brings forth the largest bush of its kind, and the birds of the air come and make their nest in it. And all of a sudden, like a light went click, I thought, the kingdom of God is huge, but you don't enter it through huge doors. You enter it through really small ways. There's small beginnings that make huge changes. And then I was reading in Zechariah, and he said the same thing. And I wrote at the top of your notes, let's read it together, and you'll see what it says, Zechariah 4:10. Let's read it. Go. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Now notice he says, don't despise small beginnings, because God rejoices to see His work begin. Huh? How does your work start? Through small entries, small gestures, small beginnings. Yeah, but God, we got to do something big. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Small things, small. Because if you do big things, you think you need to get the credit. But if you do small things and I build it, then you don't get filled with pride and God alone gets the glory. You enter the kingdom through small ways. Isn't it true? Think about it. What causes a marriage to go down? Dumb little words, little teeny words that cut, little comments, little asides, little sarcastic remarks. What builds a marriage? Little words of love and appreciation and thankfulness. A little note here, a little thing given there, a little favor given here, a little gift given here. And all of a sudden you think, wow, what a great marriage. It's the kingdom of God is built, or it can be destroyed by small things. So I said, well, Lord, what are some of the things that we can be involved in? And I thought, you know, big things. Some people say, well, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't preach. Well, this way, everybody can be involved in this. Everybody can be a part of the kingdom of God if we'll do these three things. Let me give you three ways. Here it is. The first is this. As we embark on a new season, number one, everybody can be a part of small gestures. Would you write that in? The kingdom of God will be advanced in small gestures. That mustard seed way. We all know that we've all been a part of where a word can tear you down or a word can build you up. You can't see it, but when the little kids go out the side, there's like a gauntlet of us over there hugging them, saying, great job, wonderful, you're so sweet, thank you so much. One little girl came out, and I put her face in my hand, and I said, you are so pretty. And she just went, and you know, I thought, wouldn't it be great if just in a small word, took us less than 4 seconds. But it gives them a self-esteem, a sense of confidence, a sense of value, a sense that I'm loved, so that when they grow to be 14 and 15 years old, they're not seeking for that affirmation in wrong places. And something of that young lady's personality, confidence, self-esteem, sense like I'm valued, happens in small beginnings, a mustard seed. Then the kingdom of God starts to blossom in her, and she becomes the young lady of poise and confidence that God wants her to become. Starts with small things. You can see that in the book of Proverbs. Let's read what it says here in Proverbs chapter 12. Go. Anxiety in a man's heart will weigh it down, but a good word makes it glad. Would you circle good word? Not a good treatise or a good sermon or a good proclamation. Or a good counseling. No, a good what? One word. Just a word, a note, a phone call. I cannot tell you how many times one note has helped me so much. Where just someone to take time and just write a little note. When I was just about to go to Bible college, I was in church and at this church in Portland, Oregon. And I was going to travel 100 miles south to enter into Bible college. And I'd come out of a horrible background. I was so afraid of going to this Christian place called Bible college. Thought, oh man, only angels and cherubim and seraphim go there. And here I am, a fallen angel, going over there. I thought, oh no. And so I was so afraid. And just in the middle of the service, this tall lady, and I just remember her name as Sister Jones. I don't even know her first name. We just called everybody by sister and brother at those days. And Sister Jones just turned around and handed me a little note. And it just said this, dear Wayne, I will be your prayer partner while you're in Bible college. That's my commitment. And I will be on my knees every day for you. I kept that note in my Bible for 4 years. Just a little note. And whenever I wanted to quit, whenever I wanted to drop out, I would look at that note and I would say to myself, I cannot drop out. I cannot quit because there's a lady on her knees today praying for me. I cannot leave. And God used that one little note to help me to overcome, rise above all of those things that would have disqualified me. A word. You see, the kingdom of God is built in simple ways. In fact, would you write it down in the next bullet there? Small steps are what the kingdom is made of. Small steps. Small things. Remember in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist was in the River Jordan, and he was baptizing all of these people that were like sinful background, bad backgrounds, Yakuza, gangsters, Portuguese, and all of these people who are baptizing, trying to get rid of their background. And then Jesus, the sinless Son of God, enters the Jordan River. And John the Baptist looks up, and the Bible says he recognized that this was the Lamb of God. And Jesus said, I've come to be baptized by you. And John said, no. And in fact, the Bible says it this way. And John the Baptist tried to prevent him, saying, we don't need to do this. In other words, John was saying, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. Lord, for me to baptize you, it's like no big deal. It's unnecessary. And Jesus says something that was really interesting. Let's read it in our notes and you'll see. Would you read it with me? Go. But Jesus, answering, said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. In the English version, it says, "Let it be so for now, for in this way we shall do all that God requires." Requires of what? Here's what Jesus was saying. John, to you, this might seem like a real small thing. But to my Father in heaven, what you think is small is huge. So please, do it at this time. For in doing so, it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Or in other words, something of the righteousness of the kingdom will be fit into place. My Father's plan will be ignited into motion. Something of God's kingdom will begin right here in this place with this small thing. So please do it, because in doing so, you ignite my Father's work into motion. That's exactly what Zechariah said. Never despise small things, because the Father delights to see his work begin. You know how you ignite God's work in a young person's life, in a friend's life, in your life? It's not huge things, it's small things. Because God knows that all of us can do that. Not just the elite. Everybody can be a part of the kingdom of God. You and me. I look at our marriage, Anna's and my marriage, and what has kept it vibrant and strong? I was thinking, was it big things? No. Big gifts, big purchases? No. I mean, I let her go to Ross and shop, but that's about it. And we've been married for 90 years or so. It's a long time. But I think, what is it that keeps our relationship fun and we're friends and we laugh together and it's buoyant and vivacious? What is it? What is it? And I think about it. And my wife is really good at the small things. A little note she'll put in my bag before I go and travel somewhere. Or she just kind of reminded us every time before we hang up the phone. She makes sure she says to me or my kids, "I love you, I love you, I love you too, love you too." And after a while I think, you don't need to say that, you already know, but we say it. And it's those little things that remind us. When I go out in the morning, even if it's early in the morning, she'll wait by the door. And I'll walk down the hall. And when I turn, she kind of blows me a kiss, you know, and then you go out. And I'm thinking sometimes, I'm too old for this, but I'm not. Nobody is. It's the small things. And after, not 90-some, but 32 years, it keeps our marriage strong. The big things, the small things. It is the teeny things that keeps God's kingdom in our family vibrant and alive. They're not big things. And that's why Jesus said to John the Baptist, "It might seem like a small thing to you, but my Father delights to see his work begin in small beginnings. So just do it. Just do it." And when he did, as soon as Jesus came out of the water, bang, what happened? Do you remember? The heavens opened up and the Father's voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." The Father's work began on this earth. Through what? Big things? Mm-mm. Teeny things. Teeny things. Some time ago, I was going by Kaiser Hospital, and you get this little thought in your mind. I remember someone was in there that had been in for a while, and I thought, oh, one of these days I need to just stop and say hi. But it's too small. I'll go another day. And as I was driving by, it just stayed on my heart, and I went by the hospital, and I thought, maybe I should go. And then I start rationalizing, you know, we've got such, and by the way, we do. We've got a great hospital ministry. And I said, "Lord, our hospital ministry is so great. They go and pray for people. And when they pray, man, people get healed. When I pray, they die. So, Lord, you don't want me." And I just kept driving. But it was still on my heart. So I thought, it's not that big of a deal. But, okay. And I swung back around and went to Kaiser. And when I went into the room, and the dear is an elderly lady, and she just started weeping and weeping and weeping. She said, "I was just thinking about you. I was listening to this radio program, and I thought, man, it'd be so neat to just say hi to you. And here you are." She just started crying and crying. So I prayed for her. And the cool thing was, when I went out, the guy in the next cubicle said, "Hey, think you can pray for me too?" So I said, "Yeah, I guess so." So I prayed for him. And then when I was about ready to leave, he said, "Excuse me, my cousin is down the hallway. Can you pray for him? 329, room 329. So I said, "Yeah, okay." So now I think I prayed for 4 or 5 people before I got out of there. And till this day, I laugh because I don't know what has happened. But somehow, just in a small way, I was able to plant mustard seeds in 4 or 5 people's lives. And I'll only know in heaven, when we arrive in heaven, but that the kingdom of God may have started in their life here and began in this one here and started in this one here. By big things? Mm-mm. Really small things. That's where the kingdom of God begins. And we've got so much information, we think, well, we'll just gather more information. Mm-mm. It's time to let it be leaked out so the kingdom of God can start all over Hawaii. I'm just wondering if God has not given us all that we have for such a time as this, that now the kingdom of God really can begin in small ways. I remember, you know, New Hope people, we hug everything within 20 yards of us. Isn't that right? Telephone poles, you know, trees, cars going by. And we just hug everything. And it was the third year that we were here. And I remember some big burly guy came up to me and said, if you quit this girly stuff of us hugging everybody, maybe we would come more often. So I thought, okay, yeah, all right. And I remember thinking about it all that week, thinking maybe I should discourage it, not say anything, just, you know. And it was almost as if God planted this real special lady. She came and met me out here where I usually stand. And it was like she read my mind. She looked straight in my eye and she said, don't make us stop hugging. I thought, whoa, this is spooky. I said, what? She said, don't make us stop hugging. So I said, why? She said, my husband has not been a Christian. He's been coming to church with us over the last 3 months or so. And then she said this, and I've never forgotten it. She said, and that's the only time during the week he hugs me. And then she said this, and my children come, and he's starting to hug them. And this is what she said. Here's the kicker. And it's starting to heal our marriage and our family. Small thing. And boy, when she said that, I thought, we're going to hug more now. You see, the kingdom of God has entered, begun, ignited in people's lives. Through big evangelists? No. Through what we can do. Small gestures. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And the message that I really feel that we need to be reminded about is that as we embark on our new year. But not only in small gestures, but would you write in number 2, small involvements. I mean, small involvements. Because it's a small involvement that builds the kingdom. One life at a time. Once Mother Teresa was asked, what's your goal in life? She said, to reach the whole world and tell them about Jesus Christ. And the guy said, that's a huge vision. How do you start? Where do you start? She said, you start with the face that Jesus puts in front of you every day. I thought, that's it, isn't it? That's where the kingdom starts. And it's not being involved in stuff you have to train for and have a bunch of certificates for. Every one of us can be involved in that. I mean, doors that God opens right before us. Obvious needs outside, right here. Someone that seems like they're lost. Hey, can I help you? A mother with 2 children, kind of like looking around for the Sunday school. Hey, could I help? Right over here. Somebody, just anything. They're obvious needs that you don't need training for. You just need to step in and get involved with. Small involvements. We see that in Luke 10 with the Good Samaritan. You remember that? There's a guy that needed help. 3 people went by. The first kind of went around and thought, hey, someone should help this guy. And then they took off. The second guy thought, hey, where's the people that help these people? What's the matter with the government? Whatever. And they went off. And the third one was a Samaritan, thought, well, it's obvious this guy needs help. I'm not going to wait for him or her who's trained to do it. I'm just going to help. And then when it was done, Jesus summarizes it. And let's read what he says here under number 2, Luke 10. Go. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy to him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Yeah, the obvious things of just being involved in a little way. Like how? This morning, you know, the band Salvador is with us, and they, you know, musicians don't get up till noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so when we said New Hope's first service is 7 o'clock, you could, Like, is there a 7 before p.m.? You mean there's another 7? Yeah, a.m. Oh, no, that means they have to come in at 6 or 5:30. Well, you know, they're just sleeping. And we for some reason, weren't able to get some coffee. And one of the volunteers in the church said she was just going by the coffee place and felt, hey, let's get coffee for them. I bet they could use some coffee without even being asked. It's just, let's just be involved in a small way. I can do that. And so she bought a couple of coffee things, and when she brought them in, their eyes got real big. Oh, man, this is like heaven. Well, I can't remember, but anyway, it's one of my favorite songs. And so, but I was thinking, you know, it's just hospitality. There was a guy in the Old Testament whose name was Barzillai. Now, at the end of his life, David, King David now, this the greatest king Israel had ever seen, mentions him almost like in his last breath. And he summarizes his life and calls Barzillai a very great man. Now, David had all kinds of generals and military experts around him, but he calls this guy a very great man. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to study to see what made him great in David's eyes. So I turned back to the previous chapters in 2 Samuel to see what made him very great man in David's eyes. And you know what I found out? He wasn't a great military expert. When David was forced out of his throne by Absalom, David, not wanting to fight in return, decides to just quietly retreat into the hills for a while. And in his haste, they didn't take any food. Well, when he went across the Jordan, there's a man named Barzillai. Here's what the Bible said. When he went by, he said to David, I cannot fight for you. I'm not a warrior, but I can be hospitable. And so he said, David, come. Here's some, and he gave banana bread, Portuguese sweet bread. Gave him some, you know, different things like that. And pickled mango. And he went off. That's true. Listen to this. Here it is. Barzillai, the Gileadite, brought to David wheat and flour, grains and beans and cheese for David and for the people who were with him to eat. That was it. And then later on in his life, it is summarized in 2 Samuel 19. Let's read it under number 2, what it says of Barzillai. Go. Now Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he had sustained the king, for he was a very great man. That's all he did, give him food that sustained the king. Here's what it's saying. Would you write in the bullets, simply being hospitable made him great? Hospitable. Do you know how in God's eyes hospitable people are valued? How high in God's eyes they're valued? We have lost this thing of hospitality and being hospitable to one another. And how God is saying, that's what I prize. And those small little gestures, small little involvements make you a very great person. Listen, you may believe that your small visit to your sick friend doesn't make much of a difference. Let me tell you, that mustard seed will ignite the kingdom of God in his or her life. Or maybe a nurse's life or another person's life watching. Never underestimate small beginnings. For it is there that the Father delights his work to begin. You may think the small class that you're teaching isn't worth your time. But maybe in that little small class is the beginnings of a Billy Graham or a beginnings of a great leader you don't know. And the kingdom of God begins. You might think, oh, my little tithe check is too small. I only work for minimum wage and so it's not much. So I don't know. Little do you know that something of God's kingdom is being fit into place as you obey God, even in the small things. It does something in you for your future. And maybe it's a mindset that's starting to develop that's wrong, but as I give, it corrects it. God's kingdom is fitted into your life, and it could save you thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in the future by making mistakes because of a greedy mind. What you don't know is when you're doing these small things, something of the kingdom of God's righteousness is being fit into place in your life. And it's igniting something far beyond what you can see. Don't despise a day of small beginnings, he says. For there the work begins and God delights in it. The kingdom of God is built on small involvements. You know, one of the memories that I remember the most of our early days was we have lots of equipment that's lots of money. And in the first days, we didn't have money to hire security. So we would set up on a Saturday night and then services on Sunday morning. And we'd be a little concerned because the schools we used to use didn't have motion detectors and cameras and surveillance and alarms. We just had to lock it up with chains and hope that no one breaks through the jealousy windows. And one night someone did and took a bunch of our equipment. And so we were very cautious, and we had set up some extra equipment and some video things. And all that night I thought, oh, I don't know what we're going to do, Lord, because we don't have money for security and all of these Freeman guards and police, which like we have now. And I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what we need to do. Maybe we need to take it down. And then just then one of the volunteers said, hey, we got it, Wayne. We got it. I said, no, we don't have money for guards. Said, no problem. We got it. I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, I got 3 or 4 guys. We're going to sleep here tonight. I said, in the school, in the cafeteria, with cockroaches and stuff? They said, yep, we're going to sleep here. I said, no way. Yep, we're going to sleep among the instruments each week so that nobody will come in and bother it. I thought, no way. And you know, for the first couple of years, that's what our people did. That they couldn't sing or dance, or anything, but they could sleep with the instruments. And that's what they did. They just put their beds right there. They had these little army cots, and a bunch of them just did that each week. They just changed off, and I look back, and I think, small involvements like that. Now, that's the heart that made the church. It's small involvements that started the kingdom of God growing in this place. That's the kind of hearts that we never want to lose in this next season. In fact, we want to gain back and be there again. So the kingdom of God can be ignited through small involvements. And by the way, one of those people who slept with the instruments with Elwin was Elwin Ahu. And so you see, people like that, their hearts for the ministry is huge. Is it a big thing? No, no. In fact, we asked him to sleep with the instruments because he can't sing nor dance. So that's his gift. But it's small involvements. And the third, small invitations. Would you write that down? Small invitations. This is how the kingdom of God is going to be birthed in our midst. Not through huge ways. Small invitations. You take a look at how people come to New Hope. It's small invitations. Small. I remember I was a wayward Catholic. I had a horrible lifestyle. And I played guitar. And there was another guy that was a Christian, a friend of mine, Ed Guidry, that also played guitar. And one day he said to me, hey, Wayne, I'm doing this camp for these kids. It's a Baptist camp. And he said, I need another guitar player because I'm trying to lead them in songs, and I need someone to be playing the music so I can get them singing. So I thought, oh, no. He said, come on. So I said, oh, yeah, okay, all right. How long is it? Oh, he said, 3 days, and we'll stay in a little place over here. I thought, okay, great, great, because I like to play guitar. And so I went up there, just non-Christian. I didn't want to have anything to do with this stuff. And I said, well, what are we going to sing? Because I was a rock and roller. I said, are we going to sing like Black Sabbath, Rush, you know, Jefferson Airplane? He said, no, no, we're going to sing hymns. The hymns? So he puts this music out in front of me, and I'm playing these hymns. And the first day, I'm playing all of these Christian hymns, and I'm thinking, this is so stupid. This is so bad. So I'm playing this stuff. Well, the second day, he had to play it again. And a little bit of the meaning of those songs began to drip into my heart. And the third day, God opened a gaping hole in my soul and drenched me with his love. And even though that was in 1970, I didn't formally accept Christ till 72. But you know, I look back on it, and it was that day that my heart opened to Christ. How'd that happen? A small invitation by a friend. Just small. And the kingdom of God, boom, began to begin in me. God delights those small beginnings. And sometimes we think, oh, I just need more information. You know what God is saying? No. Small mustard seed beginnings is what ignites the kingdom, not tons more information. If you look in the Bible, many of Jesus' disciples came through invitation. Let's read this next scripture, final scripture in our notes. Let's read and watch how people are invited again and again. Go. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Who was he? Simon Peter's brother. Well, he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Now, the next day he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Philip then found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Can you see how each one was invited? I wonder how many people are around you in your relationship that are just waiting for just a simple, natural invitation. I don't know if you've ever heard of a man named John Schaupitz. John Schaupitz was a little known man that even I didn't know about. You know who he was? He's the guy that invited Martin Luther to a little Bible study, and Martin Luther received Christ, and the Reformation took place in Europe. You may not have heard of this man whose name is John Eglin, but he invited a man who would soon to become the world's greatest preacher of his time, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he received Christ. Small invitation, just small. You may not have heard of Ed Kimball. Ed Kimball, in 1858, was a Boston shoe clerk. A customer came in, and in the conversation with this customer, he invited him to a men's thing. Well, the customer said, "Yeah, I don't have anything going that night." That customer came, received Christ, became someone on fire with passion for God and for lost souls. And that man was Dwight L. or D.L. Moody. He now has Moody Bible College and the Moody Bible Hour. Became one of the world's greatest evangelists in the late 1800s. He was such on fire for God that a few years later, he was speaking to pastors about reaching out to find those who need Christ and figure out ways to go get them and help them. Well, there was a man of a small church. His name was F.B. Meyer, Frederick B. Meyer. He was a man who was in a flatline church. He was there, and his soul was so impassioned by Dwight L. Moody that he became a great preacher and a crusade, a speaker at a crusade. He then went to America and was on a college campus talking to the students. Well, one of the students that just happened to be invited by a friend was a guy named J. Wilbur Chapman. He came in. His heart was so stirred for lost people and the men on the street that the YMCA began with this man's vision. It was there that J. Wilbur Chapman in the YMCA, just because of a little invitation, something huge took place that's still going today. Small invitation. He wanted to have the men off the street to hear about God's love. So he invited a man named Mordecai Ham to speak to them. And he would speak to them about their souls. Well, one of them had a friend. They said, "Hey, you got to hear what's going on." "What?" "Yeah, just come and hear this guy." Well, just a small invitation, he came. His life was changed. His name was Billy Graham. A small invitation, huge results in every case, in every case, in every case. It was in 1972 that Billy Graham had a crusade down in Dallas, Texas, and a student was invited. Just small invitation. A guy named Mike said to the student, "Go, go." And in that session with Billy Graham, he challenged all the young emerging leaders and said, "If you think you have a call on your life to enter the ministry full-time and give your life to Christ in the ministry, I want to challenge you to say yes and stand up." And the first student to stand up was me. I stood up and I said yes. And tears are flowing down my face. And I remember that day. And I look. And I look at all the invitations. It was years and years before when someone invited someone that invited someone that invited someone. Small invitations. And you can just see how God will use. The kingdom of God begins in small mustard seed ways. Small gestures, small involvements, and small invitations. I believe that God wants the kingdom of God to move in a strong way in Hawaii. And I believe that we were born for such a time as this. That God has given us much information, but not to have that substitute action. Instead, God is saying, "Now, take it in small mustard seed ways." And to you, it's going to seem small. But to my Father in heaven, it is absolutely huge. And so here is what God is saying to us as we embark into this new season. Let's be people of mustard seed faith in small ways. And you watch, you wait. You'll see the greatest years lie ahead of us. Amen. Amen. Let's do that. Let's do that. Now, as just a gift for each of you, we have a beautiful new, just printed for our 11th anniversary, and it has Life 2006, 11th anniversary. It's a translucent, crystalline, beautiful plastic, and right here. But it's printed for, just specifically for us. And so, and then on the edge, we put a little bigger spine so that there's a beautiful New Hope pen with a logo in it that goes together. And we have one for each of you. So as you go out the doors, there will be people passing these out. So we wanted to give you a gift. Now, please just take one each. Don't say, one is for my mother, my father, my other brother, and my other sister, and my other mother, and my other father, father, mother, lada, sada. No, just one each right now, because we were able to just bring in so many from the publisher, the printer, and then more will be coming next week, but just enough for us. So please take one, and I just wanted to give it to you as a gift to say happy anniversary, 11 years with Christ. Let's bow our heads and let's thank Him before the final song. Lord, we thank You so much for 11 years of Your grace. You've given us so much, Lord, teaching, information, counseling, advice, Bible studies, messages, so many, so many. But Lord, sometimes we think, well, must be something big that has happened. But thank You for reminding us that the kingdom of God really begins in small ways. So as You said in Zechariah 4, don't ever despise small beginnings, because the Father delights, God delights to see the work begin. The work of the kingdom begins with small gestures, in small involvements, with small invitations. Help us to throw out tons of mustard seeds this year and watch the kingdom of God increase. And so we stand at the brink of this new season, and we just say, glory to God in the highest. Thank You, Lord. We just sing glory, glory, gloria. With the angels in heaven. So with exuberant dance, we pray, Lord, just in a little way, our exuberance will portray, just in a little way, our great thankfulness and appreciation as we celebrate You in our midst. Thank You for 11 years of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.